Jesus before John begins to present his case, his argument that Jesus is the Son of God, he is going to give us an introduction of Jesus. And really with this introduction, he gives us a summary of everything Jesus is. He's going to give us a summary of the identity of Jesus, the importance of Jesus, the purpose and work of the Lord Jesus. It's a glorious introduction, the prologue, and really, John just takes us, I always like to use this illustration, to Mount Everest, and he just gives us an overview of just how glorious the Lord Jesus is. And so, if you recall, last week we began with the first three verses, and if you can read with me again, verse 1, we specifically focused, just to give you guys a little review of what we covered last Sunday. Notice in verse 1 that John begins his gospel, he begins this prologue by telling us that Jesus is God. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is a reference to Jesus, and the Word was with God. And then notice this last statement, and the Word was God. And so really John begins his gospel really, as we're going to see, the same way he ends his gospel. He wants us to understand more than anything else that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, that the Lord is more than a carpenter, he's more than a miracle worker, he's more than merely a wise teacher, but he's God in human flesh, fully God, perfectly man. And as we're going to see tonight, only in him is found eternal life. And so that's really where John begins. He begins with a bang, we would say. He begins just taking us to the Mount Everest of theology, and he presents the Lord Jesus as fully God. And we talked a little bit about that last week. Now, notice with me in verse 4, because this is now going to be our focus for tonight. After sharing with us, after telling us that the Word was God, that the Lord Jesus is fully God, notice now in verse 4, John continues his prologue, his description, his summary of Jesus, and he tells us two more things about Jesus. He says, in him, speaking of Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of man. And so now in verse 4, we find two more descriptions of Jesus. Not only is Jesus God, not only is the Word fully God, but now John introduces two other themes when it comes to Jesus. Notice first that he now tells us that Jesus is the life, and then he tells us that Jesus is the light. And so we see those two themes, that Jesus is life and light. Life and light. And as we're going to see, these two themes, these two words, life and light, are going to be very, very important to John. John is going to use them constantly throughout his gospel to describe the Lord Jesus Christ in different ways and in different contexts. John is always going to tell us in different ways that Jesus is the life and Jesus is the light. And so what I want to do tonight, I want us to focus on verse 4 tonight, and we're also going to focus on it next Sunday, and I want to talk a little bit about Jesus being the life, that he is life, and then I want to talk after that Jesus is the light, the light. And so let us begin, and to focus on Jesus being the life, I want to share with you a few things. Because I think if we're all honest, we would all say, amen. You know, Jesus is the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus also said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have eternal life, and he also says life in abundance. And so we always see those different verses, those different declarations of Jesus. And so I don't think tonight, I'm just assuming that none of us have any problem with Jesus being the life. Okay, Jesus es la vida. My notes are actually in Spanish, so I don't think nobody has problem with that, that Jesus is eternal life, that Jesus offers life in abundance, that only in Jesus you can find life. And so everybody would agree with that, but the question is, what exactly does that mean? What does it mean when we say that Jesus is the life? Or even better than that, what does the Bible mean? What exactly does that mean in Scripture when Jesus is presented as the life? Well, I want to share with you a few things. I want to give you some of the major ideas behind that declaration. When we say Jesus is the life, when we say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is eternal life, really there's three main ideas behind it. And I want to share them with you. And let's begin here, because really this is where the Bible begins. The first thing we mean by that is that Jesus is the source of life. He is the source of life. Now, basically what we're saying is that all of life, whether physical or spiritual, finds its source, its beginning, its origin in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way of saying this would be that Jesus is the source, or he is the creator of all of life. He is creator. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all of life. Now there's two ideas here, and there's two implications. First, Jesus is the source of all physical life. And look with me there in John chapter 1, verse 3. John chapter 1, verse 3, just bump up one verse. Because notice what John says about the Lord, about the Word. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now that's a good translation, but even though it's good, you still kind of miss a little detail, a little color from the Greek. Because literally in the Greek, that reads, all things were made through him, and without him, not a single thing was made that was made. That without Jesus, not even, just think of the smallest thing you can imagine, a decimal point, a microorganism, whatever it is, the idea is without Jesus, it was not made, because the idea is he is the creator, he is the source of all physical life. He is the one who created all things, and every single thing, no matter how big it is or how small it is, finds its source in Jesus. Turn with me also. Let me give you some references. I always like doing this. It's healthy to move around in the pages of Scripture. Notice Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, because notice now what the author of the Hebrews tells us about this idea that Jesus is the source of all living things, that he is the creator God. All physical life finds its source in him. Notice Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. And then notice this statement, through whom also he created the world. Through the Son, through the Lord Jesus, the Father created all things. Now turn with me to the book of Colossians. I got to share with you this scripture reference. This is actually one of my favorite references concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Notice what Paul says about the Lord and about him being the source of all physical life. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created. He's speaking about Jesus. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. And the idea there is it doesn't matter what it is or who it is, all things were created. And then notice these two words, through him and for him. Through him and for him. That is such a deep, profound, amazing description of Jesus, because this is literally what Paul is saying. He's saying that all things were created by Christ, through Christ, and for Christ. That Jesus is not only the source of creation, that he's not only the author, the architect of creation, but Jesus is also the purpose of creation. He is what we would call the chief end, the object of creation. In other words, what Paul is saying is that we were created by Christ, but we were also created for Christ. That Jesus created us for his glory, for his will, for his pleasure. Jesus created us for himself. For himself. That in Jesus we find purpose, we find value, we find meaning, because we were created by him and for him. I remember as a young man, when I was 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, during those teenage years, I remember one of my biggest struggles that I had was what we would call identity. I had an identity crisis, like many of you probably did at that age, or maybe some are even having an identity crisis even right now. And really, in an identity crisis, the question is, who am I? That's the question that you're trying to solve. You're trying to figure out, who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? That was my question that I had. That was my what they call existential moment, crisis, when I was a young man. And that's a very profound question. That's a very hard question to answer as a young person, because there's so much influence, there's so many voices that are trying to define who you are. And so I remember there was a time that people were telling me, you're an athlete, you're a jock because you could jump so high, or because you can run so fast, or because you can catch this type of pass. In those days, I was a lot more athletic than I am now, and I used to play sports, and it was my thing for a season. And so everybody wanted to kind of define who I am through that. And then there was others, though, who were saying, no, you're a student, you're a future scholar. I was pretty good, at least at the beginning, with classwork. And then towards the end, you know, when I just started making bad decisions, then others were saying, no, you're a thug and you're a gangster. And I remember I had an English teacher tell me I was a good for nothing and I would never graduate from college. I remember she shared with me that, and I was like, yeah, thanks, you know, that's who I am. And so you're wrestling with all these things, and you don't know who you are. You know, the government says you're just a number, and some say you're only what, you know, the color of your skin. And there was just so many voices, and that was my struggle, man. Who am I? What is the purpose? What is life all about? And I'll never forget, at the age of 21, after just so much despair, so much loneliness, so much sin and just misery, by the grace of God, I bowed my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I gave my life to Christ, surrendered everything to him. And it was only in that moment that I finally realized who I was. And Jesus, he literally came into my life and he drowned out all the other voices, all the confusion, all the despair, and he told me exactly who I was. And he told me, you belong to me. That's who you are. You are a child of God, and you have been redeemed by blood, and you belong to me. And I remember coming across this verse when Paul tells us that we were created by Christ and for Christ. And it was almost as if I grabbed that verse and just tucked it in my heart. And for the first time, I realized that's what life is all about. I was made by Jesus, and I was made for Jesus. He's the author, but he's also the purpose, the reason, the chief end of my existence. And so from that day forward, I realized that everything I do, I have to do for the glory of Christ, for the honor of Christ, that as I work or as I go to school or as I'm a son in the home or now a father and husband, everything has to be for the glory of Christ because he's everything, fam. He's the author and the chief end of all that we do. It's only in Christ we can find identity. And so the idea is without Christ, there's no purpose. There's no value. There's no significance. There's no ultimate meaning. There's temporary, but ultimately there's no meaning without Christ. And so first, Jesus is the life. When we say that, we're saying that he's the source of physical life. Everything was created by Christ, through Christ, and for Christ. You were created by Christ. You were created through Christ. You were created for Christ. You have a designer. You have a creator, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has created you for a purpose, for a reason. Ultimately is to know him and to make him known. You have a purpose. There is a design behind your life that God has good things planned for your life. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. Your life is this not a series of unfortunate events, but there's a plan. There's a design. God is creator. God is the author of your story, man. And it's filled with meaning. It's rich. It's beautiful. It's good. It's a good life in Christ. And he's sovereign. He's in control. And I think at times for us that's hard to understand because sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes we don't understand if that's true. Why is this happening or why is this not happening? You know, why then in my life are there so many bumpy roads? Why is there so many challenges and hardships and why can't I ever seem to get a break? I think at times we struggle with those questions, especially maybe as younger adults. But we need to understand that no matter what we go through, God has a plan. He got a purpose, and he's using it. He's using what you're going through to form character. He wants to develop character. God is more concerned with the internal than the external. And sometimes God gets to allow us to go through things because he's building up your inner person. He's building up your character. God wants to teach you faith. He wants to teach you patience. He wants to teach you integrity. God wants to teach you perseverance, that things don't come easy, but they come with much patience and hard work. You know, I've been going to graduations this past week. I went on Friday to the College of the Desert, and congratulations to Denise and to Alex for graduating and those others who graduated too that are not with us tonight. Then I went to LABI graduation yesterday. Congratulations to Sister Bertha and the other sisters. Can I get a woo-woo, right? Amen. And man, you know what? I love graduations. You know, I love school. I love the academic world. You know, I got a few degrees by the grace of God myself. The teacher was wrong. I did end up going to college, right? But you know what's cool about graduations is because you're celebrating hard work. That's what I love about graduations, because it's hard to go to college. I'll be honest with you. It's super hard. And it's not that the classes are hard, because the truth is the classes are actually pretty easy, but the homework is hard. Finding time to do homework. That's the worst. I hate homework. It's the worst. It's like God's curse upon mankind. Right? I think like in the fall, right? Genesis 3, I think God mentioned homework as one of the curses of sin. Because it's hard to find time. You know, I'll be honest with you, I'd rather, you know, watch a movie than do homework. I'd rather be online, be on my phone. I'd rather do anything. I'd rather go to the dentist than do homework. And it's hard, you know, and that's why not everybody goes to school. Now don't misunderstand me. School's not for everyone. You know, God opens up doors and you can be very successful, you know, without going to school. But it's hard work. It's perseverance. It's determination. It's years of just laboring in homework. And so it's exciting when you go to graduations, because you're celebrating work well done. It's like the reward is there. It's well worth it when you get that diploma. But to get there, you gotta suffer. You gotta go through a lot of tears and a lot of pain, and you gotta write a lot of meaningless essays, right? And read a lot of books that you'll never read again in your life, and learn a lot of formulas that you're probably not gonna use. but it's that process. It's that process. And God works like that. God works in a process. You know, he allows us to go through things. He allows us to pass through things. But the promise is a graduation is coming. That one day there will be a heavenly graduation, a heavenly celebration. One day you will get a diploma, but it's not going to be a piece of paper. It's going to be a crown given to you, not by a president of an institution, but by King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it's worth it, and it's worth it. And so God is the author, God is the creator. He in him we find value and meaning and significance, and there's a purpose behind everything. And sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes we would rather be doing other things or passing through other things. But Jesus knows exactly what he's doing, because he's the source of all things. And so when we talk about Jesus being the life, the first thing is he's the source of all physical life, the creator, God. But notice second, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. He's also the source of what we would call spiritual life. Spiritual life. There is physical life, what we see with our eyes, the physical world. But the Bible teaches us that there's also something called spiritual life. The very life of God in the soul of man. The new birth, being spiritually alive, being born again. Jesus is also the source of that. Because notice what Paul says in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 4. He says this, and this is what he does. He begins to describe first our lives, our condition before we came to Christ. Now, I can only imagine if I asked the question, do you remember who you were or what you were doing before you came to Christ? Do you remember? You remember your testimony. Now, some would say, well, I was a druggie. I was an alcoholic. I was a womanizer. Some would say, well, I used to party a lot. Some would say, you know what, I never party, but I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of hate in my heart. I was very mean to my parents. I was very mean to my siblings. Maybe some would say, I always came to church, and I was always a moral person, but I was dead. I was like the religious leaders. I had a lot of morality, but I was still far from God. I would come to church, and I would go through the motions, but my heart was far from God. I wasn't born again. And so if we talked about our testimonies, I think that would be kind of things that we would hear. But listen to this. According to the Bible, even though that would sound bad and rough, and even though some of us would be like, man, I never knew he did that or she did that, the Bible teaches us that we were far worse than we could ever imagine. You were so much more worse than what you thought you were before you came to Christ. Because the word the Bible uses is dead. That's literally how the Bible describes you before you came to Christ, before you gave your life to Christ. You were dead. So you weren't sick. You weren't, you know, struggling. You weren't going through a hard time. You were dead. You were a dead person, a dead man walking. You had nothing spiritually going on for yourself. And that's what Paul says. Look at what he says. Ephesians 2. He says this, and you were dead. And if you got a pen, just kind of like underline that and say, this is my testimony. You know, and anybody ever asks you, what's your testimony? I was dead. I was dead in trespasses and sins. And then notice what he says, in which you once walked, following the course of this world. Look at what this says. Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So Paul says, before Christ, you were dead in your sins. You were spiritually dead. You had nothing spiritual going on, but you were a dead corpse. And then he says, not only that, but you were following the system of this world, and you were following Satan. You were following the devil. That's what you were doing before you were Christ. And you're thinking, wait a minute, I was never following the devil. I was never, you know, going to the satanic church. Paul says, without you even knowing, you were following Satan. You were a slave to Satan. Look what he says, verse 3, among whom we all once lived. Look at this. He says, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And then look what he says here. And we're by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. You know, I heard a song once that a very famous musician saying that we are all God's children. And Paul says, no, we're not. Outside of Christ, you're children of wrath. That's literally what he says. Not everyone is God's children. And that was our condition. But then notice verse 4. Look at the first word, verse 4. But. Well, that's a huge word in the Bible. It speaks of a contrast. It speaks of you were going this direction. You were heading down this road, but now you're heading in a different direction. You're somebody else. You're somebody new. And look what he says. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. Notice this. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's amazing. This is who we used to be. This was our condition. This was the path we were taking. We were dead in our sins. We were children of wrath. We were following the course of this world. We were following Satan. But then Paul tells us that God had mercy. And in Christ, he made us alive. And the idea there is now we're spiritually alive. That in Christ, we have been given spiritual life. That in Christ, we have been given eternal life. That in Christ, God has made us alive. And now we are no longer dead. Our spirits are not dead, but now our spirits are alive. We're alive towards God. We're not following Satan anymore. We're not following the world anymore. We're following the Lord. We're following the Word. And in Christ, we have been given life. And so Jesus is the source. He's what we would say the author of physical life, but he's also the author of spiritual life. That Jesus gives us life and life in abundance. It's almost as if Paul is saying that without Christ, there's no life. There's no life. There's no physical life. There's no creation. There's no universe. There's no worlds. But there's also no spiritual life. There's no eternal life. There's no life in abundance. Without Jesus, there's only death. There's only darkness. There's only condemnation. Jesus is the life, and he has come to give us life. He has come that we might have life and life in abundance. And really, fam, and you can turn back with me to the Gospel of John chapter 1. That is a theme that John is going to be covering over and over again. That in Christ, we have life. That in Christ, we have abundant life. That in Christ, we can experience the very life of God. That in Christ, we can experience joy. We can experience peace. We can experience the presence of God, that we have everything in Christ, that as believers, we don't have to live with anger, we don't have to live with wrath, we don't have to live with bondage, but we have life in Christ. We have eternal life in Jesus, and we must always remember that. You know, I think one of the things that breaks my heart the most is when I see Christians living in defeat. And that just breaks my heart. You know, I've seen Christians who are genuine Christians. You know, deep down they do love the Lord. They have been born again, but they're just living with defeat. They're living in slavery. You see their life, and there's nothing joyful about them, and you think to yourself, man, what's going on? Jesus came to bring life. Jesus came to bring abundant life. Where's the abundant life? The only thing I see sometimes is stress and anger, and what about this one, boredom? You know, how many Christians go to church and are bored? Wait a minute, you're bored at church, but Jesus came to bring life. He came to bring abundant life. What about this? How many Christians, man, they just have anger? It's like they're always angry. It's like, man, they're always exploding. They're like little hulks just ready to blow up. And you think to yourself, but Jesus came to bring life. Jesus is the author of life. As a believer, you're saying that you have the author of life inside of you. And so the question is, where's the life? Where's the abundant life? Where is the abundant life that we have in Christ? Why isn't it being reflected? Where's the joy? Why so much anger? Where's all the joy? Why aren't you enjoying life? That's what Jesus has given you. Where's the peace? Why Why so stressful? Why do you have so many burdens? Jesus has given you life. And that breaks my heart when I see believers that they're just defeated. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to pass through a hard time. That doesn't mean that times are not going to be difficult. But it does mean in the midst of it all, we have life in Christ. That Jesus has given us life, and he just wants to pour his life into you. He wants to give you abundant life. He wants you to experience abundant life. Do you know, this is just a question for all of us, do you know what abundant life is? Have you experienced that? Like have you allowed Jesus just to overwhelm you with his life? Like have you just experienced that abundant life, that man, I have life in Christ, that I'm alive in Christ, that yeah, it's difficult, yeah, it's hard, but I can have joy, I can have peace, I can enjoy myself. I can kind of slow down and enjoy God, enjoy the presence of God. That I don't have to live like a slave. I don't have to live a defeated life. I don't have to always be mad. Like it doesn't matter what anyone does to me. I have life. I don't have to get angry. I don't have to yell. You know, one of my main goals always is I never want to yell. Like for me, yelling is pointless. Getting upset, there's no point of getting upset. What are you going to do by yelling? You just look stupid. That's all. Yelling at your wife, you just look dumb. Yelling at your husband, even if he gives you a reason, he probably does give you a reason. There's no point. Why? Jesus has given you life. Jesus has given you abundant life. Why aren't you enjoying it? You know, it's been statistically proven if you get upset always, you're probably going to have a short life. You probably will get a stroke, high blood pressure, and you'll probably die one day, and you're going to die angry. You're going to die angry because that's all you have in your heart, and you haven't allowed Jesus to just heal your heart. Get that, let him just get that angry out of you. There might be anger in there, and it might be really deep, but Jesus can go so much deeper. He can get it out of you, I promise you. He can turn the Hulk into Captain America, right? Somebody nice and kind. Some of you are like, I've never seen Avengers. Don't understand that illustration, Adam. It's okay. But he's came to bring life. Live life in Christ. And so he's the fountain. He's the source of life. Now, let me give you another idea here. When we say Jesus is the life, he's the source of life. He's the source of physical life. He's the source of spiritual life. Everything comes from him. But notice now, second, he's also the sustainer of life. The sustainer of life. Look at verse 4. In him was life. The source of life, but now the sustainer. And I want to share with you a verse in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Now look at verse 17, because notice now what Paul says concerning the Lord. After telling us in verse 16 that he's the creator of all things, that all things were made through him and for him. Notice now verse 17, Colossians 1, 17. Paul continues and he says, and he is before all things. And then notice this, and in him all things hold together. I've always loved that description. That in him all things remain. That all things hold together. And really what Paul is saying is that Jesus is the source of life, but he's also the sustainer. The sustainer. Jesus keeps everything together. You know, I remember years ago, I took a chemistry class. And I don't know if you guys like chemistry. I hated chemistry. Did not understand a thing. Passed the class, but only by the grace of God. And it was just a terrible class. And God have mercy on your soul if you like chemistry. Amen. But I remember that the teacher one day told me, and this is actually something I remember, that literally a molecule at the molecular level, the core of a molecule actually has different atoms. You probably all know this. At least you should know it. And literally the teacher told me that at the molecular level, the atoms, they actually have opposite charges. And so there's a negative and there's a positive. And the teacher told me that theoretically all the atoms should explode, that they should resist, that the negative should resist the positive, but there's something that's holding all the atoms together. And they literally call it atomic glue. And if you ask them what is atomic glue, they would say, I don't know either. But there's just something invisible that's keeping every atom from exploding. And we don't know what it is. There is really no understanding at that molecular level. But all the atoms should explode. They should resist. But there's this atomic glue that is holding everything together. And the Bible says that atomic glue is Jesus. He's the sustainer. He is the one who keeps this universe from falling apart. What's keeping us together? Do you know that right now, this is just crazy, we are floating in space right now. And some of you are saying, Adam, what did you smoke before you came to church? No, literally, we're floating. The earth is rotating around the sun right now. Amen. You guys learned that. And to me, that's mind-blowing. You know, how do we know gravity is going to work tomorrow? What if we wake up tomorrow and gravity forgot to get up, right? And we're just all begin to float. You know what I mean? You're like, man, is that what they teach you at school? You know, right? But Jesus holds it all together. Paul says, and in him, all things hold together. Gravity, the laws of nature, the laws of thermodynamics, the planets, the solar systems. Everything is held together by Jesus. Even the atoms that we're made up of, they should be exploding, they should be resisting, but there's this atomic glue, the Lord Jesus, that holds everything together. Look at Hebrews. Look what the author of the Hebrews says about this. Hebrews 1:3. He, speaking of Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. And then notice what he says about Jesus, verse 3, the end of verse 3. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. That's amazing, fam. That Jesus upholds. The idea is that he sustains everything by a single word. By a single word. How do we know gravity is going to work tomorrow? Because Jesus is sustaining it. He's upholding it. How do we know that we're just not going to fling into universe tomorrow? Because Jesus sustains everything. Every law. The laws of gravity, the laws of this universe, the physical and natural laws are being sustained and maintained by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we say Jesus is the life, we're saying he's the source of life. He's the sustainer of life. He sustains the physical world. But listen to this, though. The Bible doesn't stop there. But the Bible also teaches us that Jesus sustains the spiritual world too. And the idea there is Jesus sustains us. that our life is in his hands, and he has us, and he's holding on to us, and he's not going to let go. And so when you think of the Lord Jesus, you can think, okay, he got the world in his hands. He is sustaining all things, but he also has my world in his hands. He's sustaining my life. He's sustaining my marriage. He's sustaining my home. He's sustaining my children. He's sustaining my ministry, my Christian walk. He's sustaining my mind, my heart. He sustains us every single day. Every single day, he has us in the palm of his hands, and he promises us that he will never let go. And he has you. He sustains you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're passing through, he has you, and he will sustain you. And there's someone here tonight, I'm going to actually end with this. There's someone here tonight that has to hear this, because you're going through such a difficult time right now. And nobody knows but you what you're going through, but you're passing through something. And you're feeling weak, and you're feeling tired, and you're feeling fragile. And the number one temptation is to throw in the towel. That is always the number one temptation. So you're going through marital problems, you want to throw in the towel. You're going through work problems, you want to quit. You're going through spiritual problems, you want to take a break of your Christian walk. You're going through ministerial problems, you want to leave church. The temptation number one is always throw in the towel. To give up, to give in, to run, because you're tired, you're hurt, you're helpless. And that's always the temptation. But listen to this tonight. If you're that person, and you probably are, I tell you this. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening right now in your life, Jesus is the sustainer of all things. And Jesus is sustaining you. He sustains you. He has you right here in the palm of his hands, and he will never let you go. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter how hard it gets. He will never abandon you. He will never forsake you. He will never neglect you. He will never, ever let go of you. And he will sustain you. He will sustain you until the end. I promise you that. If you just hold on to Jesus, he will sustain you till the end. Because he's a sustainer. He's the sustainer of all things. He has you, and you're in good hands, in his hands. I once read this. I want to read it to you. An author once said this: the road is hard, the journey is long, the struggles are many, the battles are fierce, but he sustains me every single day. My failures grow, my burdens increase, my defects are always present, my errors are always confronting me. But then he writes, but he is sustaining me every single day. And then he ends by saying, I'm weak, I'm fragile, I'm tired, I'm hurting, I'm suffering, I feel so alone, and I have so much need. But then he ends with the words, but he is sustaining me every single day. And because he is sustaining me, I will get through one more day. He is sustaining you. And so Jesus is the life. He's the source of life, physical, spiritual, abundant life. It all comes from Jesus. But Jesus is also the sustainer of life. Physical life, yes, he's the atomic glue holding the physical world together. But even more than that, spiritual life. He's the atomic glue holding us together, holding our lives together. He's right now holding your marriage together. He's right now holding your family, your children together. He's right now holding your finances, your work together. He's right now holding your ministry, your church, your spiritual walk together. He is holding all things together because he is the sustainer of all things. And so this week, let us rejoice that we have life in Christ, and let us rest in the fact that Jesus is going to keep us this week. Because I don't know what's going to happen this week. You know, so much could happen in one week. You know, this week, something can happen. Your life can be changed forever. I mean, yesterday I was driving. Check this out. Yesterday I was driving on the freeway, and all of a sudden on the 60, we just hit bumper to bumper traffic. So, you know, you expected traffic at that time and that area. So I didn't think nothing of it. But no joke, right when we stopped, 5 minutes later, I looked up, and there was a huge cloud of smoke like 100 feet from us on the freeway. And it was just huge smoke. And I was like, man, something is on fire, right? I was like, whoa. And so as we drove past it, finally, you know, ambulance, fire department, it was all like right there, fam. It was crazy. And I was tempted to take out my phone, but I was the one driving. And literally there was this bike that was just engulfed in flames right in the middle of the freeway. And there was a biker just on the side of the road. And literally he was just convulsing. And God forbid he didn't pass away, but it looked like he was going to pass away. I was just thinking, man, just in an instant, his whole life and his family just changed. And then this morning, I'm driving to church, and I'm driving down a road. And right when I turn on the road, there's like 5 police officers, and there's ambulance. And literally, there was a huge Jeep just flipped over on the side of the road. And in my mind, I was thinking, his life just changed in an instant. And that's life. We don't know what's going to happen. God forbid something like that happens to us this week, but we just don't know what this week's going to have for us. It could be a hard week for some of us. It could be challenging. There could be many surprises, but whatever happens, let us just know and rest that Jesus is holding us. He's protecting us. He's sustaining us. And whatever happens to us, he's in control. And he has a plan, he has a purpose, he's going to use it for his glory. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word, and thank you, Jesus, that you are the life. And we need to hear that, Lord, because if there's something that we need, and if there's something that we want, it's life, Lord. I want life. I want more of your life, your presence every single day. I want to be just overwhelmed with your life. And I just pray right now, Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't have this life, or maybe they're not living to the fullness of the life that you have given them, I pray that you would help them, Lord. If there's anybody living tonight in defeat, if there's anybody living tonight just with anger or bitterness, or they just don't know how to enjoy you, Lord, they haven't figured out how to be a happy Christian. They're an angry Christian, they're a bitter Christian, they're a confused Christian, but they're not a joyful Christian. I pray that you would help them, Lord. My heart goes out to them. I love the fam, and I want them to experience what I have experienced, Lord, in you, Lord. And I just pray for that person. I pray for that family member. I pray for that brother, that sister. I also pray for whoever is here tonight, and they're just going through a difficult time, and I know that there's someone here, Lord, that they're going through it, and they feel like throwing in the towel. And I know they feel that way Because that's how I always feel, Lord, when I'm going through something. When things are not looking good, when things are getting tough, the tendency is just to run, Lord. And I think there's someone here tonight that they're tempted to run. They're feeling like running. And I don't know who they are, Lord, and that's none of my business, but you do, Lord. And I just pray that you would help them, Lord. I pray that tonight you would just wrap them in your arms and that you would remind them, Lord, that you have them. You're sustaining them. You're the glue that's holding it all together. And you have promised us that you will never let go. You will never let go. It doesn't matter what we go through. Lord, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And you are with us, Lord. Your rod and your staff comfort us, Lord. It doesn't matter what we go through, Lord. You're bigger, you're greater, you're stronger, you're better, Lord. And you have us, Lord. And I just pray for my family. I just pray that you would bring a comfort, a peace, and that you would bring the strength, knowing, Lord, that we are in your hands, that I am in your hands, Lord. And in you I have life, and I have life in abundance. And right now it might be hard, it might be difficult, but it's going to be all worth it in the end, Lord, because there is a celebration. There's a graduation coming, Lord. And we will see you one day, and we will be rewarded by you for our faithfulness, Lord. Help us to be faithful, Lord. Help us to persevere. Help us not to give up, Lord. Help us to stay firm in our convictions. Help us to stay focused in our Christian walk. I pray, Lord, that years from now, we're going to be doing the same thing we're doing tonight, Lord. That in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years, that we're going to be doing the same thing, Lord. We want to persevere, Lord. We're in this for the long run, Lord. We don't want to start and then give up, Lord, but we want to start and we want to finish, Lord. So I pray for my family. I pray for every brother and sister. Give them determination, Lord. Give them perseverance. Give them a fighting spirit that they would never give up, Lord. That they would never give up because it doesn't matter if you start the race. The only thing that matters is that you finish it. And you will sustain us, Lord. You will keep us until the end. And we rest in that, Lord. And so we commit this week into your hands. Bless us. Protect us. Go before us. And use us this week. Use us, Lord, just to show others this life that we have in you. That this week we wouldn't be angry. That we wouldn't be yowling at anyone. But that this week we would love one another and share the love and the light of Christ. Too well. Help us to be a blessing, Lord. I want to just be a blessing to someone this week. That's our prayer, Lord. And we ask all of it in your precious name. And all of the family says, amen. Amen. God bless you, fam. Can we give the Lord a little clap offering, fam? Yeah, why not? Grace and peace.